I am very happy to be backstage with our soloist, Peter Richard Conti. Peter, that was a beautiful performance. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. It's a lot of fun to play that piece.
We usually hear Baroque concerti scored for wind or string instruments, and the organ has such a unique sound. It's almost delicate at times.
It is, and these concerti were originally written for a very small English chamber organ. Handel wrote them as sort of competition, actually. There was a rival opera house down the street from Covent Garden, and they were drawing a lot of the audiences that are very famous, like castrato. And so Handel thought, well, I can one-up this. And so he wrote these concerti to basically show off his virtuosic keyboard skills. And they were intermission features or interval features during his oratorios.
The delicacy of the sound surprised me, honestly. You said it was originally written for a chamber organ. The organ that you're playing, the Fred J. Cooper Memorial, is enormous. At least it looks so impressive from the audience. But can you explain the mechanics? Usually you're sitting way up in the organ loft, but today you're sitting out front, on stage, with a huge console. Do both consoles control the same mechanism?
They do. We're lucky here to have the what's called the main console upstairs, and that is a tracker console. That means a direct connection between the keys that the organist presses and the pipes, literally a direct linkage, little wooden trackers. But this organ also is equipped with a stage console that runs with electropneumatic action. So there's no direct connection. It's run by a fiber optic cable along the stage up to the same pipes. It's playing the exact same pipe count. The consoles are, although they don't look the same, they have the same controls, slightly different locations, but they're pretty much identical as for what they control.
Well, we usually see you up there in the organ loft. What's the difference for you as an artist playing on stage with the orchestra as opposed to playing with the orchestra a little bit removed from them?
Well, it's actually, in this situation here, it's much preferable to play on the stage with the stage console whenever you can, because that console upstairs, it looks very impressive, but you're actually inside and underneath the pipes. And so all you are aware of hearing when you're playing is the pedal organ. You can't really hear what's going on with the rest of your hands. So it's kind of rather disconcerting to the organist. You can't really tell. So what I do is I always prepare, no matter which console I'm playing on, I prepare from the stage console where I can hear all the balances. And then you're sort of playing blind upstairs if you have to play up there on the tracker console. So it's a joy to play downstairs. And of course, to play with this orchestra is just, it's one of my favorite things of all time.
Let's talk about preparation a little bit, because as I said, the sound was particularly delicate in places, sometimes very bright, and had a wonderful warm quality. What do you mean by preparing the organ?
When I was preparing for this performance, I'd come in when the stage was available and mix and match some 48 different combinations for this piece. These pieces were written for organs that only had four stops. So it's kind of a luxury to be able to really explore the different colors of flutes and things between the different movements.
And you can get such beautiful nuance that way. Now, from the audience standpoint, we're sitting here, we're looking at you on the stage. We see these magnificent pipes above the orchestra, above the stage, but we don't see them moving or any sort of thing happening. Where is the actual sound coming from?
Well, the sound comes from those pipes and pipes behind it. Most of the pipes, over 7,000 of them, are back behind the ones you see. That's a metal facade. And that facade that you see is some of the pedal stops, some of the very low pitches of the organ. There's two ranks, I think, represented within that facade you see. But most of the organ is right behind there. It's sort of hidden, but you can definitely hear it. And some of the pipes are within what are called chambers, which are literally rooms of pipes with Venetian blinds, if you will, at the front so that I can open and close and make a dynamic crescendo or diminuendo. And some of the pipes are simply standing back there in the open until we play it one volume.
I did notice that you got a lot of crescendos and decrescendos while the string players were digging into their strings and getting louder. You also were getting louder. It brought to mind that both J.S. Bach and Handel were virtuoso keyboard players, both on harpsichord and organ. Was it hard for them, do you think, to switch from harpsichord to organ? Because they seem like such different instruments.
Well, the keyboards are the same, basically, but the touch is very different. Although, you know, tracker organs, they do have a very delicate touch to them. So I'm not sure it was all that difficult to change. The difference with the organ is, especially some of the older tracker organs, the key action can be very heavy. The more stops you bring on, the more voices you add, the more difficult it is to press the keys down. And that's a common problem that we all deal with.
Circling back to J.S. Bach and Handel, as virtuoso keyboard players, we know they were great improvisers. Did Handel improvise in this concerto when he performed it?
I believe so. There's actually a space in the first movement, the Allegro, that you get to the end of the first movement, just like you would in any concerto. And there is a cadenza implied there. He starts one for you, and then he says ad libitum. And so I actually went off and I did a bit of a nod to the Respighi that the orchestra played before I came on stage. They did the Ancient Airs and Dances first suite. And I did a little nod to that in there. It's kind of fun. You play with whatever themes are in that first movement, and you're supposed to monkey with those a little bit, which I did, and came back to the final coda.
You have a very busy schedule, many performances a week as Grand Court Organist at the Wanamaker Organ, as Principal Organist at Longwood Gardens, at St. Clement's Church. In this day of electronic instruments and the wealth of music of all different genres out there, why do you think we're still drawn to the organ with its many pipes, its incredibly complex mechanism, and a history that's centuries old?
It's often been referred to as the king of instruments, the organ, and I think rightly so. It can be so incredibly grand. I mean, there's nothing like an orchestra, especially nothing like this orchestra. The Philly Orchestra is incredible. But the organ has its own grandeur about it, and I think people are drawn to that timeless sound, and especially organs like the Fred J. Cooper organ, which are so magnificent, and it fills this space in a way. It commands the space. It can overpower even the Philadelphia Orchestra if we let it. It has that kind of incredible power about it. And also, it can be very delicate. So the fact that it can have these extremes and it's controlled by one person at a console, it's kind of a cool thing.
Are many people still learning to play the organ? Is it still a popular instrument?
Very much so. It is a thriving art form, and music schools are filled with really, really talented young people. I was just down recently in Houston teaching at Rice University, and wow, some of the talent on there is unbelievable. It's just jaw-dropping, really. So yeah, it's a very much thriving art form, which is great to see. It really is.
Well, thank you so much, Peter Richard Conte, for spending time with us. I just love to hear what you had to say about the organ. You taught us a lot about your instrument, and your enthusiasm is infectious.
Well, thank you very much, Deborah. It's great to be with you, too.